Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you all first for sharing my evening at the Liquid Damage Lounge with me, Liquid Damage. And depending on where you are, evening, morning, afternoon, I thank you for being here. A Team of Voices Radio is sponsored by AP Taylor, so we throw our thanks out to AP. And our group is filled with love and respect. We are also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe with listeners from over 60 countries. Can you believe that? And the hosting team offers a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something different going on nearly every night of the week. You never know what we have up our sleeve, like jokes, poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, special events with poetic topics from A to Z, and you are invited to join us for all the fun. Just click to listen to the live show or to hear the pre-recorded episodes, and you can also call to participate at 1-646-668-2837. You can find our hosts and hostesses, Push Love and Respect. Stop in and check us out. Hi, everybody. First of all, let me welcome 385
who's
calling. Who's 385 area code?
I believe that's me.
And who is Gwen? Who's calling?
Oh, sorry, this is Curator. I'm calling from, should I say where I'm calling from? I don't know. I don't want to, like, reveal my location. That might be a little dangerous.
Oh, but what was your name again?
Curator.
Okay.
That's my username, at least.
And I want to welcome,
sure.
Also, Wayne just popped in. Howdy, Wayne.
What's up? What'd it be like?
I'm glad to see you here tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
You just got here right in time to be with all the guys and gals, and we're going to hear some great poetry. Did you bring a joke?
Oh, no, I just got to be writing a poem. I'm running behind today. I've been doing carpets all day in my study, trying to get the carpets clean, and I'm sitting in a hard chair right now. I don't have my computer, my room back together yet. I was kind of sitting here hanging in here. So I got a wet floor.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here. And then we have Hatter. Hi, Hatter.
Hello. Hi.
And AP. Hi, AP.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. And then we have Carmine.
Hi,
Carmine.
Hi, Carmine.
How are you, my dear? It's so nice to be with the gang again.
Thank you.
Really, very pleasant.
Yeah. We're glad to have you, Carmine. It's not the same without you.
Well, I appreciate that, but you kids do a fantastic job. And it's appreciated all over the world.
Right. We have fun, and we love having you here. So, let's see. I have some SoundClouds to get through first. So let me go back to the chat wall. Oh, and I've got a message.
Oh, Deborah.
Everybody's doing.
Deborah had to leave early and go get her son. She apologizes to try to make it back.
Right. Okay, where is the team of voices? Oh, it's buried under all this stuff.
I've got a joke for you, Linda, doing that.
Could you go and grab Frank's SoundCloud? There it is, up at the top.
Okay, hold on. I am grabbing... There's Frank. Titus is at the top. And there's Frank. Got Frank. Okay, one tick. Bear with me.
Is everybody ready?
Is that My Love for Music by Titus?
A Poetic Picasso, Frank. So I've just put that up now, Linda.
But he changed his name to Francisco Del Mar, and he tried to fool me. But I
That'd
figured
right.
it out. Yeah.
Well done, you.
Can't fool me. Okay, here we go.
I am trapped in the piercing grip of cracked ripples of time passing, engulfed in the center of a blistering cyclone jarring, entwirling rapidly, encompassed by copper particles of the blinding dust in soiled stains, as the serrated edges of the razor spike thorns cut my wrinkled skin. The velvet clouds are covered in stray dashes of the scorching heat. But the burning sun peels off the layers of the splintered stratosphere seen. And the oxygen I inhale is fading into a poisonous toxin of dripping fumes, where the infection of the plague has spread like a blazing wildfire. A thousand echoes of the centaurian shrieks of the dying souls are heard, but they are swallowed by the powerful black breath of the colossal Leviathan. Devouring winds of the tempestuous pressure of an unstoppable force. The horrible madness of a punishing scourge of a daunting apocalypse. Ravenous demons of alabaster bones bite at the handrails of the staircase, marked with the looming sign of death, scratching with their hooked fingernails, while their pointed teeth grind through the metallic amaranthine steps collapsing. And I scream out loud to the whole world to hear my drowning voice, suffocating. Do you hear them?
Wonderful.
Am I going insane? Is the door closing up the world I leave behind? Forever. No! 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 End of poem.
Wow. Bravo, Frank. And you thought you could hide from me. You can change your name, but you can't change your artistry. Wow, this was on fire. I think my favorite part was verse 4. Ravenous demons of alabaster bones bite at the handrails of the staircase, marked with the looming sign of death, scratching with their hooked fingernails. This is just like off-the-wall stuff. It's just... your writing is, it's so eloquent and seriously full of beautiful madness. Thank you for this awesome piece, Frank. And remember that even though your name has changed, you are still the Sergeant of Scary, the Deputy of Doom, and especially the Master of Macabre. Love you, Francisco Del Mar. Okay, let's get some comments. I know Carmine's sitting over biting at the chops.
Well,
I'll tell you,
first of all, may I say something just a little bit?
Yeah.
The title of the work, My Drowning Voice, is really an excellent title. That's, to me, it was like the horrible madness of a scourge that was punishing everybody. The infection that spread like wildfire, and the shrieks of dying souls, like you said. I mean, it was really the horror genre. And when you said, even when you pointed out the ravenous demons of alabaster bones, that's very haunting. I really like the last verse, when the door of life is closing, and when he says, no, 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 it's the anticipation of death. There you have it. You know, it's the horror of expression, you know, personified, beautiful. He did an excellent job, as you said.
Yeah. AP.
Well, it's interesting, Linda, because I always think good writing has the potential to take you back to places you've been. And this poem took me back to the morning of 2009 when we had the dreadful fires and we had that incredible wind of about 70 miles an hour paired with an amazing heat of about 119. And just the words that he used here just sort of took me back to the morning of that day. And you just knew it was going to be bad because it just felt like you were in the gates of hell. And that's where Frank put me, which was great writing.
Yeah, and he snuck up on me with the laugh. Usually he waits till the end to do that, but he got it before the end and got me good. But, yeah,
yep.
Frank's a master, just a master of artistry. Wayne.
Yes. Yes. I wrote
what did you think of Frank's?
I wrote a spread like a blazing wildfire. I love the way Frank said blazing wildfire. Just coming on the edge of my seat. Great performance, well written. His voice is still so professional. It's amazing. The captivating poem with the murderous laugh, another classic. I love it.
Great. And I must apologize, 385. I still didn't get your name.
You can just call me Rylan. It's fine.
Rylan?
Yeah. I'm the one who sent the email under the wrong name at first.
Right, I just want to put a name under the number so I know who's I'm talking to.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, what did you think about Frank's poem?
I loved the imagery. I thought it was very vivid. Alabaster is a very fun word. I've never heard that word before.
Yeah.
And I love it a lot. It just has, it's a word that tastes good. You know what I mean? I have to say the fourth stanza is very good.
Right on. Yeah, I like that word alabaster too. And you don't hear it. You don't hear it in poetry very often. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Frank's just a master.
Also such a good word. He has a very good choice of words. Amaranthine.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. Well, thank you all for commenting. We love our Frank, and even though he changed his name, we found him. So
found
I'm glad
him.
About that. Yeah, glad I did. And now, AP, can you pull up Titus on the board?
I can. I'll just grab that for you. And we'll grab the copy. And did you want to, when I got that up there, did you want to play the SoundCloud, Linda?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Well, it is on the board now.
Okay.
What's the title, Linda? Is it My Love for Music?
Yes. Yes. That's it.
Ooh, I like
so,
this.
You play it. It's a beautiful piece.
My love for music, words she'd say, strikes a chord and with such intricate displays, her fingertips do finely adapt, love's finding enough words to describe mine as Archaeus. I'm reminded of time and life's rewinding of a solitary pose, which holds all endeavor. A kindly natured woman, to pluck so sweetly, it would dispel the theory twelfth of never, resonate those notes to the group completely. Having played for so long, the distance true from east to west, the distance in between visions form somewhat freely, each abjure, to respect the art of another, it will convene with a literary phrase. Whereas hers is music, heartfelt are words for mine, having spread the gift we both possess, becomes anaclusic. This love for music mine, some verse she says.
This comes from Titus, our master poet. And his words for her are so poetically genius, so soft and lovely. And I can't think of a finer way to be left in bliss and holy wonder than the words of a great poet as you, Tony. My favorite part is the second verse, of course. With literary phrase, whereas hers in music, heartfelt are words for mine, having spread the gift we both possess, being anacoluthic, this love for music, mine, some verse, she said. He knocks those words out like no other poet I know. It flows so justly and shows a love for her, each other's show for each other's art as well. He puts her up on a pedestal, and I just love this piece. It's the music behind it was such a good choice, and we love you, Tony. Anyway, let's get you some more. Rylan, would you like to compliment on Titus?
Titus did an amazing job with his words, I think. I'm still reading over it. I have a hard time hearing things. It's hard to describe, but the cadence, it brings this like bubbling feeling, you know? The cadence of it. It's just, I did hand motion
right.
That you can't see.
Right.
But it's wonderful. I love it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure Tony would be grateful. Wayne.
Yes. Yes. I was saying, the first thing I wrote was wow, and you came on there and you said wow. It kind of blew me away. It's written so well, I just kind of froze as you read it. So much emotion and love in it, it's all over me. I don't mind. It's a way to have love, all of you. The heartfelt words are mine, he said. Great poem all the way through. The way you read it and the way it sounded, it was just it was almost like music. Great job.
Yeah, yeah. Carmine.
Well, I'll tell you, when I checked out the music for the SoundCloud, the title was Can You Feel Me? And yes, the artists of all natures can feel each other or see each other's work. And there's where the artist has respect for another artist, because both of them possess the gifts, and we see this in this work. It's beautiful expressions, as she mentioned, in the flow of the lines that you had. It's a very intricate display of the mastery, like even with the fingertips of someone playing the violin or the harp, and how it is so delicate. It's really, it's a reminder to me of life and how we have to feel for each other, even if, you know, we are not artists. And I love Tarnish's work. I always will.
Right. Well, thank you, Tony. We love you. Hope you're doing well. Don't work too hard. I know he's often about on a job and working crazy. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Oh, no, we have AP. I'm sorry, AP. You didn't comment.
No, I was being quiet. I love Tony's work. And
you are awfully
he
quiet.
Thinks about no, but I love Tony's work because he thinks about not just the rhyming, but he thinks about what happens within the line, the internal cadence of the poem.
And so when he reads the poem, it just works so beautifully to read, because he's not just got the end rhyme, he's got internal rhyme and internal meter as well. He follows it very carefully and beautifully constructed.
Right on. So let me see our next piece. I have a piece that's been trying to get played for a month now. That didn't do it. This is a young lady from Bosnia, and she couldn't be here because, well, she was moved from one of her village to another.
Is it Bosnia or Botswana?
Bosnia. But apparently there wasn't availability for her to be here herself, I mean, be on the air with us herself. So she asked me if I would read this piece, and it should be up on the board. You guys see it? It's called Heartbreak.
Let me have a look.
Let me refresh.
I've just refreshed and I can't.
Let me try put. I'll put it up there again. Oh, that's because I didn't push send.
That'll do it.
There.
That'll do it. Yeah.
You got it? Right on.
Yep.
Got it now. Yep.
Okay, this is called Heartbreak by Affinity 6. Broken heart is all I am, trying to pick pieces when I lie awake tonight, wishing things can change, but it's all so strange, more so that I try to convince myself. I'm pissed, but I act like I'm not. I really remember when I say I forgot. No matter how hard I try to run away from this heartbreak, but my mind overflows with memories of you, of all that we shared, all that we knew. I tried hard to run. I want to hide from all the pain you aroused inside. I want to scream. I want to cry. But my voice is voiceless. My tears are all dried up. The pain will never let me be. It hurts so bad. My heart and soul are drowning in a sea of tragedy and in poem. So, Carmine.
Well, I tell you,
yeah,
one could really feel the lament of a broken heart here. And, of course, he is remembering, or she is remembering, the sharing of beautiful times spent together. And so much so, so deep it is, that the pain will never, you know, let him or her be free. The pain being that way, and how many have experienced or experienced it, it hurts so bad that the last line was really very powerful. It says, drowning in a sea of, I believe it's a tragedy. It's an emotional poem. It's a sad love poem of the loss of someone. So he did it. He did an excellent job. I don't know if she's a affinity is a female or male, but anyway, whatever, she did an excellent job. And the rhyme, you see the rhyme over here is well gone. Very, very rhythmic flow, and you did an excellent job in reading it also, Linda, so we give you credit.
Well, thank you very much, and I forgot to do my review.
It is Heartbreak, good title, because it portrays heartbreak, yeah.
And this is what I thought. This is so heartfelt and full of emotion, honest and true. I love the way her words seem to flow off the page. She has such a strong and beautiful heart, and she is such a dear friend. Let your words be your aqueduct to release your pain. My favorite part is verse 2, when she says, I am pissed, but I act like I'm not. I really remember when I say I forgot. No matter how hard I try to run away from it, this heartbreak, but my mind overflows with memories of you, of all that we shared, all that we knew. I love the rhyme in that. It's very subtle, and but very cool, very cool. And she poured out her emotions with all her heart and didn't hold the punch. This is so well written, my dear friend. Let out your desires and fly. Come back soon. And it was Botswana, not Bosnia. I'm sorry, Botswana. And our hearts go out to you there. AP.
Yeah, look, I mean, the interesting thing at the minute, Linda, is that it would appear that we've got a situation in the world where there's more conflict rather than less, and unfortunately that's being reflected in a whole heap of different places, and it's causing drama and it's causing real heartache for people in a number of different parts of the world, and we can only hope that somehow there's some breakthroughs, and that people have the opportunity just to live in peace and to live without the scourge of things overhanging them. And I think that's what this poem's about.
Yeah, well, the other thing I see in this poem is with all the upheaval and just evil actions going on, is that she's talking about one-on-one about a person, you know, that it looks like she had a relationship with. And so, like, within all this turmoil, she can focus down to one person and, you know. So I think that's great that this is a way for her to let out some of the evilness that's going on. Keep it out. And do her poetry and you know. But I love her to death. She writes beautiful poetry. And so Wayne, what did you think?
Well, what I said was I love all the emotion in this poem. Time will ease the pain. I don't know anything else that worked but time. It's a painful experience. I hope the next time, and there will be a next time, things work out better. You sound so innocent. Don't change the thing. Great poem.
Right on. Good comment.
Hey, Carmine.
And Rylan.
Oh,
yep. Go ahead.
Carmine made a point that if you didn't know the sex of the poet, you didn't know it was a man or a woman, what would give it away? In her right, what words would she use, a phrase that a male might not? You know, Carmine made a good point. He didn't know. He wasn't sure. So I questioned, well, which, if you look at it, there's certain words I would say, certain phrases that gives it away.
Right.
Like I want to scream. I want to cry. Go on. Very, very hard.
Right,
very
right.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
That's okay, Rylan. Did you want to finish?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really enjoyed the second stanza. I think it has a very good flow. I am pissed, but I act like I'm not. I really remember when I say I forgot. That to me feels very powerful, as well as the mind overflows with memories of you, of all that we shared, of all that we knew. That's also very, like, a very strong line to me, or two lines.
Right.
Those four lines are just so incredibly strong.
Yeah, she's an incredible writer.
She is.
So
kudos.
I wish she could be with us some night. And so, Heather, did you finish your comment?
Oh,
I'm sorry, I forgot to put
letter.
You down.
Yes, I did.
Oh, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm starting to rethink which poem I should read. Starting
well,
to think I should read something else.
You want
to
throw one up there?
Yeah, I can throw one up onto the board. I don't want to cut other people off, though.
No. You got it.
There's one. Do you want me to read that later or not?
Wait for all of us. Technology. You know what I'm saying. Okay, how come I'm not getting the board? Okay, I don't see it on the board yet.
I can see it. No, I can see it.
Let me refresh it. No, that's not refreshing it.
Edwin's neighbor is
Thank
okay.
you for
that
staying.
Would be unfortunate. Yes, that one.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're a curator.
Yes, I am.
Okay. That's why I got confused.
Yeah.
You can start anytime you'd like.
All right. I'm nervous. I don't read poetry out loud very often.
That's okay.
Or ever.
Just relax. Everybody's here to support you.
What's the title, my dear?
Thank you for staying. It's in the board.
What was that again?
Thank you for staying. Am I good to start?
Yep, you're
you
good
are.
To go.
All right. Thank you for staying. As a friend, as a lover, as a confidant, thank you for showing me that something that used to be, like blazing eggshells, could be something as pure as a daisy. Innocence in its own right, regardless of how innocent it may be. Because you love what I love what I see in myself. You love the shadows in the corner, like you love the sun on a cold day, or bugs on a dying plant. Because you love the cracks in the asphalt, like you love the rain in a drought, or the chaos inherent in living. Thank you for staying, as the tide changes low and the moon changes old, with as much passion and reverence as you had when the tide was high and the moon was new. You love me regardless of these things. You love me, and I love you the same. You love me, and I love you the same. End poem.
Wow, that was sweet. You changed up poems on me. I thought you were going to read Landmines, which, but may
well, yeah,
I say,
that
was
about
was
my parents.
So
my
poem.
Parents are currently in the house, so...
No. Okay, well, you threw me for a loop there, Missy. But, no, I thought this was lovely. You did a great job reading it. Just slow down a little bit. I know the nerves get you and you want to just... No, don't be sorry. I'm just giving you some hints, you know. You have just a great idea that flows through this whole poem. And... I think my favorite part was, regardless of how innocent it may be, because you love what I love what I see in myself, you love the shadows in the corner, like you love the sun on a cold day, or bugs on a dying plant. For some reason, that just hits me, that bugs on a dying plant. But you wrote this with love in your heart, you know? And I can see how there's some hurt here, some passion, and it was really cool.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and very well written. So, you know, write us more, write us more. Come back.
I might have to.
Yeah, you're up for open invitation. I'm on the second and third Friday evening at 6 each month. Come join me. And we should be ready for a joke pretty soon. But let's get some comments for Curator. Hatter.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, slow down the reading to us old poets. That's okay, man. No, we all did it when we first started. I love the part, where was it, as the tide changes low and the moon changes old. Great, great line.
Yeah.
And repeating. Yeah, and they're doing the similar.
I changed my mind.
Huh? You what?
I said I changed my mind. That's my favorite line, too.
That was very well done.
I'm
How long
stealing
you been
it from you, Hatter.
What's that?
I said, how long have you been writing?
Well, I'm 14 now, and I've been writing since I was 10 or 11,
wow.
So I'd say 3-4 years.
Wow, you're a youngin'. And you write like
yeah.
this? My goodness. You are
yeah.
a poet and don't know it. Are you doing?
I'm a
That's
poet and
great.
I'm
a wow. Wow. I think you're the youngest person I've had on my show.
Yeah.
Cool.
Feel
well,
like
I applaud you for your deep thought. Just amazes me. I had a youngin' in a different group, and she, although not as good a writer as you are, she had a way of putting it out there. She was 18, but... and she'd had a rough life already, but she put it out there. And so I'm amazed at you guys that you're barely, you know, into adulthood and you write like, masters. So, Wayne, what did you think?
Now, Wayne might have stepped away.
Wayne
might have stepped
go?
Away because
his
neighbor was calling him. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me hold for a second. 720, who's calling?
Hello, Linda.
Oh, is that my sweet?
It is.
Hi,
how are you
sweet.
Tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello then. I'm very welcome.
Did you get to hear any of Curator's poetry?
I got to hear her read. Got to hear her say she was nervous, which not sure why. You read very well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely. You have a very nice piece of poetry going on here. Very deep for such a young woman. As a friend, a lover, and a confidant, that's you write well above your age. Because you love what I loathe. Again, the impression of you love what I hate is astounding. I like the justification there. Opposites do attract, too. I think you have a nice sense of, you know, what could be, what cannot be. You know, the sun in a cold day, you like to really look at something and write to the opposite, because we tend to want what we can't have and have what we don't want. So I like the cast, the your attitude towards that, the capture of that in your poem. And as everyone has told you, you know, sometimes taking a deep breath between your lines, and that's something we learn, that dramatic pause. Hatter's very good at it. Linda's very good at it. I, not so much. I tend to talk.
Wonderfully.
I know, but I also tend to talk. So it has taken me a while to get that.
But you do go a little fast, yes.
Yeah. And that's just because if I go fast enough, if I skip over a word, nobody knows. But, yeah, dramatic pauses sometimes help and things like that. But I really like how you just kind of, you know, the change in the tide, the moon grows old. That's brilliant, too, like everyone has told you. And I love the last line. You love me and I love you the same. I wonder if that's possible.
Right.
If anyone can love more or other or the same. I have yet to really find that in any one relationship. Just, and I'm very, very old. So we'll see how that happens. But very well done.
Good comment.
Thank you.
AP.
Well, I have to say, when you were speaking to us, Curator, I sort of had the vision of somebody who was sort of about 10 years older than what you said you were. And that is a good thing.
Yeah.
That is a good thing, because it's a good thing for a couple of reasons. It's a good thing, firstly, because you've got confidence in what you're doing and what you're saying, and that's a really positive thing, just full stop, from a whole world issue. But secondly, what you're saying is also it's mature and it's well thought through and it's beautifully linked. There's lovely connections in the lines. And so the poem sort of flows down the page because it's got a real connectedness and a maturity of thought, and just keep writing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I will definitely keep writing.
Cool.
I have so many thoughts and nowhere to put them.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Curator, real quick. What year were you born?
2008.
Wow. Makes you feel old, huh, Hatter?
Yeah. God bless her.
That's okay. Don't feel bad.
Hatter, what year were you born?
Okay, Carmine.
I'll tell you that. The poetry.
Listen, when Carmine was born.
That young one was very sincere. It was showing a lot of insight, I mean, for a young person. And it had a feeling of thankfulness. Well, when it says thanks for staying, it showed her appreciation for him, and it also showed that even though there was maybe a difference here or there, but they still were on the same plane, the same line, and they found confidence in each other. And that's why when she said thanks for staying, it made her feel a fulfillment that, you know, sometimes some people don't get. But the way she had expressed herself as far as her work is concerned shows that she has wonderful potential. So I would suggest she keeps writing, because for her to write something like that, to continue, because her mind will search and get even deeper subjects, because that was a deep subject. And she's well appreciated. And tell her we love her, too, just for coming on. As far as being nervous, that's only being natural. Don't worry about it. Next time, she won't be nervous.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. I'm trying. Oh, AP, did you bring a piece?
I can always have a piece sitting there in about a minute's time. Linda, if you want one.
Yeah, throw it up there.
Okay, well, I'm going to go.
We got a lot to do tonight. Never mind why he's getting his poem. You got a joke?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I found out one thing, that insanity is hereditary. And I found out that you can get it from your children.
Yeah, ain't that true?
I know, I caused my parents a bit of grief.
Hey, Linda, you know what? Last night I found out that I was getting old. And you know what? I said, why? Well, I went to an antique auction, and as soon as I stepped in the door, three people put a bid on me. Oh, here we go again.
So tell curator what year you were born.
Beg pardon?
Tell curator what year you were born.
I'm thinking this old guy was born in 1931.
Whoa,
no. 1931. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
And he comes here and hangs out with us on a Friday night.
That's
right
really.
On. And I was born in 59. So
no, I'm a spring chicken, Linda. I was only 67. So anyway, I've got my poem up on the board if you refresh, Linda, so you should be able to see it. It's only short.
Okay, hang on.
I see it. Prettier Roses?
Yep. Let's see it.
Oh, I already like this.
You got it, Linda?
Oh, I see the picture. How come I don't see the link? It's under the picture. Let me refresh.
It should refresh. It should be sitting under the picture. Got white and gray.
Okay,
white paint all over my hand.
Nope, I don't see it. I see there's a picture, right?
Yeah, then there's a couple of lines, and then there's my piece that's sitting a couple of lines below the picture.
Huh. Can you redo it? Because I refreshed and...
No, it's there. It's there. I just picked it up.
I've sent it twice.
There we go.
So, yeah, you got it this time? Okay, cool.
I got
you. Ready?
Ya. Yep, I'm ready.
Righto. Here we go. It's only short. This is Prettier Roses. It goes a little bit like this. Prettier roses and bunches of flowers, they woo the air with a delicate perfume. Small talk over candles passes the hours while consuming a meal in a small room. And within that candle, a fire burns bright. It's reflecting your eyes and blonde hair. Eyes do not leave yours all through night. My head is spinning in warmth and care. For I cannot envision my skies without you, no space where there may be a mystery. For your eyes dazzle and my world renew, like those far suns that dazzle in history. End poem.
Aww. Hey, P.
That's amazing.
That's such a lovely poem. You love
Gary.
Somebody.
Ooh,
no, that's
that
very
well
pretty,
be.
And your rhyme is so nice, and it flows so perfectly with the topic that I just love the cadence and flow in this. It's wonderful, but on the inside of it, it has such heartfelt meaning, and it kind of tugs at your heart. And I like poetry that does that. It makes me feel. And that's what we write for, is to make people feel. We don't always get it, but this one is a feeler. So thank you for sharing it, AP. Let me get you some comments. Carmine.
Well, he had I really enjoyed his reading. I mean, the flow of his reading really emphasized why he read like that. It was because the poem was written like that, and in doing so, actually enhanced each other. And so, with the reading and the poetry and the rhyme and everything that you said. It gave a feeling of warmthness. And like you mentioned, that's what poetry is all about. Of course, sometimes when you get in the horror side and whatever, grotesque, well, that's a different genre, that's a different feel, that's a different mood, a different atmosphere and everything. But his poem, even though it wasn't elongated, it did emit the feeling of, you know, of really sincerity, and as you mentioned, it was wonderful. He did a good job, a great job. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right on. Yeah. Wayne. Wayne left.
Yeah.
Let me cross that off. Rylan, what did you think?
I love this. I read the first line, and then immediately my brain went, this is a good poem. I don't know how I knew, because I'd only read one line, but it was already a good poem from the first line. Pretty are roses, and I love it.
Cool.
The rhyme scheme is also very nice. I love that as well.
Thank you.
May read it again. A space that may be a mystery for your eyes dies when my world renew. I love it. It's overall amazing poem. Good job, AP.
Thank you very much.
Nice comment. Hatter.
Yeah, it's a perfect example of hook in the first line. It's a good observation. Pretty as roses and bunches of flowers. Small talk of candles passes the hours while consuming a meal in a small room. Cadence is just... is inviting. Where's the other? Can't find it. I cannot envision the skies. Oh, for I cannot envision my skies without you. You know, it's got everything in it. At first, you're describing the time with them, then the missing, or you're missing them already. Got that. Puppy love feeling in it. Nice job.
Cool.
Thanks, Ella. Cheers.
And sweet.
If I proclaim my jealousy for the fair lady that receives this poem from AP, it would be in the kindest of. For, oh my, what a love poet, a sonnet Shakespeare himself would be jealous of. Ah, beautifully done, my sir. Beautifully done. Master of the universe that he is.
Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to do mine, and then we'll do sweet, and then Hatter, and then we'll go from there. Is that cool, everybody?
Go, Linda. You tell us what we're doing. You know, go for it.
Okay. It's up on the board. I thought since it's Friday the 13th, I'd get all spooky on you. Now, this is kind of hard to read, so give me a break. It's called
I love the font.
The Spider and the Cat by Liquid Damage. A full moon bright on haunted night, a cat came out to play with spider dark who wouldn't bark to make the cat his prey. Once before, they both got sore and got into a fight. But this time, to fit the rhyme, the cat held spider tight. The cat was Fluffy. He was a toughie. The spider was named Greg. The funny thing, the spider sings, I've got but seven legs. The cat was due what would ensue from spider full of bane. His legs of seven from his misgiven didn't quite make him lame. He had fought, which got him not, eight legs of which he had. The cat did bite and held Greg tight, which made the spider mad. The cat did shake, then Greg did break. Now seven is all he's got. Now he says the truth that is, I'll walk my swaggish talk. But that was then, and now again, the cat and spider meet to see which one gets battle won and which one wins defeat. So now outside, they didn't hide. They came out with a furry. The cat did bow. Greg said, chow. Come on, I'm in a hurry. So here it is, the time for biz. What's going to be the way that we will try to kill each other on this day? The cat thought they would use a way that was fair to each. But Greg thought that he'd not get into the cat's reach. So here it was, the cat's fuzz was where the spider jumped, to bite the cat upon his back, then bite him on his rump. And so the cat jumped like that as the spider took a bite. The cat replied, I can't abide, you're doing things not right. And then he rolled, the people told, the fur was really flying. And so it seems he wasn't keen, the cat was surely dying. And now it's done. It wasn't fun. But Greg got up and bowed. And of the cat, the last words that he said was with a scowl. And then surprise had filled Greg's eyes. He had won the mix. And so for Greg, about his legs, now he just had six. End poem.
The queen of cadence. The queen of cadence.
The queen of cadence.
This is always so spot on. Curie, do you want to comment?
Right on.
Oh, yeah, sure. I love this. The cadence and the rhythm and the rhyming was very good. I also really liked how the spider is named Greg. Greg is such a name. I love it.
Yeah, she's Grinda's got a great way of matching dark, light, evil, good, cat, mouse. You know, anyway, there's always a conflict there. It's very well done, AP.
A twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I love the legs of the spider being the sort of central piece of the whole bit, Linda. I mean, you always have a lovely cadence and flow to the poem, and you tell a story beautifully well. And I could have almost told you when we started that when I knew that they had seven legs that they'd go to six, I just knew it, but it didn't matter because I wanted to hear the story of how I got there. And you tell it beautifully well.
Right on.
Thank you, sweetheart. Very good. I also really like the font.
Carmine, you want to come
cool.
in?
Cool.
Linda? The rhyming flow
yes.
was in perfect rhythmic sequence. It was just, being a musician, I could feel it. I felt the flow just like, you know, I was in a marching band on the 4th of July. And it was a very imaginative story. And I mean, you know, like they said, the cat and the mouse or the cat and the dog. But a cat and a spider. Wow, it's another Dr. Seuss. I mean, you could put that in a storybook or a book, and just some good illustrations, and you have a winner there. Especially now
I'm
during
so
this
flattered.
Season. So much credit, and I would say bravo. The surprise ending, of course. You know, the surprise ending when you have the spider overcoming the cat. Well, now you're talking. That's drama, and that's what the whole thing had. It had a good sense of drama, It was entertaining. It was perfect in rhythm flow, far different than what you would see. From there, your imagination exploded in the spider and the cat.
Right on.
My dear,
you know,
okay?
In your comment, to be compared to Dr. Seuss is one of my all-time just high spots. I'm dancing on the stars, my friend. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, you deserve
it. I wish there was a Grammy Award for poetry. Is there a Grammy Award for
poetry? No, they call it
they
something
have
else.
Some kind of awards.
Shoestring or something. Shoestring Award or something.
Yeah. There should be, I think.
Anyway, Sweet, did you want to comment?
I absolutely love it. The spider and the cat, why not? I think the cat would eat the crap out of the spider, but you tell it so well that you fall in love, obviously, with the cat and the spider. So nobody wants to hurt the spider, but eventually, you know, things happen. It's another one of, you know, chalk it up. I'm going to read just my grandson's stories because you're so fabulous, and I just adore everything you
Turn
do almost. And you just have, I always say when you read and things like that, it's another great, you know, Linda Rhyme. And you're absolutely, as I repeat myself, one of my favorite storytellers on all poetry. Actually, in any poet's book, you're one of my favorite storytellers.
Thank you, sweetheart.
286 poems. Holy moly.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
Sorry, I'm looking at this. Yeah. These are all poems that I'm probably going to end up reading to my niece. I know she doesn't understand what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of children's stuff in there.
Yeah.
But, so sweet.
Yes.
You got a piece you can throw up on the board?
Oh, of course. It's Friday.
Oh, you're up there. You're ahead of me.
It's time to play with dollies.
Ooh. Right on.
Oh, that was creepy. Holy moly.
The floor is
link?
Yours, my darling. Does everybody have the link?
Yep.
Does everybody
have the link.
All right. This is called Cracked Porcelain. Wings clip, angel fell. Raven hair, burning smells. A wicked child listens well. Demonic thoughts in mind do flip as Lucifer cracks his sadistic whip. Poised by hate left to die, burn the world, watch flames arise. Memorize the skies burn red. Cruelty and violence filled her head. Tiptoeing across the tile, don't look up and see her smile. Shiny silver knife stabs in pain, reflecting droplets from slit veins. Blackened blood shall rain. Storms of hate block the sun. No place to ride, nowhere to run. Maniacal grin and soul-shattering laughter. Imminent demise descends faster. Blood drains 6 feet deep. Now it lays you down to sleep. Seek to destroy the evil seed, kill the flowers and destroy the weeds. Gun to head, a steel kiss, the hammer falls, it does not miss. Body shattering when it falls. No one cared for this porcelain doll. End poem.
That was, you know, you don't do it often, but when you do creepy, you do creepy well. I mean, this is like, all the way through it, he's maniacal. You are such a good writer. And your rhyme in your poems are always spot on. And in this one as well. I'm trying to find... I think it's this one. Maniacal grin and soul-shattering laughter. imminent demise, he sends faster. Blood drains 6 feet deep. Now it lays you down to sleep. I love that line. That's so creepy.
You're such a good line.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's give you some comments. Rylan, would you like to comment?
Or sure.
Or curator, I should say.
Nah, it's all fun. I do really like the end of Demise to Sense Faster. The three lines after that, really good. Seek to destroy the evil seed, kill the flowers, and destroy the weeds has a very nice flow to me. Like, just that right there. I would put that on, in a quote book, actually. If I was making, like, a mood board, I would put that on there.
Thank you.
Demonic thoughts and mind do slip as Lucifer cracks his sadistic whip. Also very good. I really liked it. It was amazing. I am a big fan of creepy things. I love creepy things. I love horror. I love all things spooky and scary. So Halloween is actually my month. My birthday's coming up soon.
Yeah.
I just remembered that.
Oh, happy
yeah,
birthday coming
overall.
Up soon.
Thank you. Yeah, but this is an amazing poem. I loved it.
Thank you.
Cool.
Absolutely wonderful. Great job.
Bye. Thank you.
Tatter. Did we lose Hatter? Nope, there he is. Hatter?
Hatter, be off mute.
He may be off.
Well. Carmine.
Well, she sure had a very pleasant voice, and I mean, she had an excellent flow, plus her rhyming of the poetry was most worthy of praise. And some of the lines were very thoughtful. So, like you said, it was just well-liked and meaningful. And she's got a lot of talent there. So I would just say, keep on writing, girl, because you will be well-liked continually. And we appreciate that. I know everyone does.
Thank you very much.
Right. I think Sweet Pea has the greatest reading voice ever. You do.
I agree.
It's so mysterious and enchanting. Very cool. Okay, AP, what did you think?
Yeah, she has a really good voice because it sounds all cute and apple pie and, you know, we're going down to the fun fair only to get our heads smashed in with a hammer, you know? So it's sort of got that sort of, you know, feel to it that gives you the sense that everything's going to be okay, but you just know it's not going to be, you know? And that's a lovely sort of dichotomy of and why the reading voice, I think, works so well. Lovely rhyme. Nice to see a hammer involved here. I, you know, it. You have a porcelain doll and a hammer. There's only one place it's going to end, and surely it did. Enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I hope you would. It does rhyme completely this time, AP.
Yes, I saw. I noted that.
Awesome. You guys are awesome. Hatter, where are you?
I'm right here. I got called away.
Oh, there you go.
I had to.
Up.
Oh, okay. I pulled one from the vault.
From the vault, I said. You said.
From the vault.
Oh.
Oh, I should get it. Let's see.
Hey, Linda, are you going to read Heavenly Angels? You have that on the board.
Yeah, I got her up next. No, actually,
okay.
I was going to get Curator some Did you want to read it?
I can if you want me to wrap your hat on.
Okay. And then, curator, you can read the next one, get some practice in.
All right. I'll read the next one.
Okay, Hatter's up.
All right.
Hatter, let's look on this.
Hi, Hatter.
Hello. I made it. I pulled a can of 10 shades of gray. It was like this.
Great.
I watched a blind man painting on a blustery cold winter's day. He asked me if I had with me a can of 10 shades of gray. I heard a musician playing under a hot summer moon. He asked me if I had written the songs that made him blue. I saw a preacher preaching one glorious springtime dawn, rhyming words and questions, singing a biblical song. I left a poor man wishing for the dreams that never came true. This guy he kept reaching for, did you know that I loved you? I see it all differently, how to smile at a world gone by. I now ask one thing of you, to hear the laughter when I cry.
Oh, right on. I have always loved this poem. It's another
it
feeler.
Is such a wonderful poem.
And you're another one that rhymes so well. And with words that are uncommon, you know. Psalms is one of them that you made work really well. But this is a really sweet poem that has a lot of heart and soul in it. And the soul of this poem is just very deep and of caring person. And I like it very much. I think you're just an amazing, amazing writer, Hatter. Let me get
you
some more comments. Carmine.
Well, he had a wonderful flow. He did. Very rhythmic, very flowing, very expressive, especially the questions he asked. And so, in the finality, of course, it came full circle. And that's part of excellent writing when you start something and then you come full circle at the end, especially with the questions that you ask, gives it meaning. And so I agree with you and I agree with your comments on behalf of his work. So much commendation goes to you, sir. And I'm telling you, you got some talent there. A lot of talent on your show, Linda. A lot of talent.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm glad they are.
Bottle it up
too,
and sell it. We'd be
that's
rich.
A gift. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Nice comment. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, look, Hatter is... when he's on form, and this is a good example of that, is sort of like the poet's poet because he writes things that you read and you think you want to have written yourself. And the lovely thing about this poem is it's just got lovely subtlety to it. And I've seen Hatter construct a poem before, and he'll look for the right combinations of words and he'll look for the right frame to put stanzas in and he'll move them around until he's really happy with it. And it's like a chess set. And the thing about this poem is it's beautifully constructed and it just builds upon itself. And as Carmine rightly said, it goes back and closes the loop, which is poetry does. So, yeah, a really, really lovely poem.
Thank you, AP.
Right on. Yeah, curator, would you like to comment?
Yes, I really liked the, what's the word? I don't know the word for it. There's something that I really liked about the first two stanzas. They I don't have words for it. It's hard to put words to it, which is weird because I normally don't have issues with that. But it has such a good rhythm and a good flow. The poor man wishing line or stanza is also really good. The last stanza is also really good. All of it is just really good. And that's really all I can say.
Thank you. And I don't know what it's called either.
Yes.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, and sometimes that is all you can say. Something is so good that, wow, how do I put words to describe something so beautiful? And this is a beautiful poem. So we love you, Hatter. Sweet.
Yes.
Would you like to comment on Hatter's poem?
Yes.
She's heard it 4, 5, 6, 7 times.
And as I always say, it's black boot worthy. It's to me your, you know, what is the meaning of life poem, and I adore this one.
Right on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm trying to get back to the.
Do you want me to read Heavenly
Star? Here we are. Yes, I was just checking to see if it's all. Is it all up there? Yes.
Linda, I'm gonna have to take off. Thanks for letting me read, and nice meeting you, curator, and see you guys.
Sure, Hatter.
CAP. Carmine.
Thank you for coming.
Please. Yeah.
Thanks
thank
for coming.
You.
Nice meeting you too.
See you next time. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a reader poem. So sweet.
Yes, this is a.
Has everybody
a
got the link first?
Yep. I have Taken by the Darkness, right?
Yes.
A little
yes.
For our sweet.
That's it.
All right.
AP, you got it?
Got it.
All right.
Okay, Carmine. Everybody's got it. Okay, the floor is yours, young lady.
Thank you.
What was that? You want me to read mine, Linda?
You can be next.
Okay. What's the title of this poem,
Get
Linda?
Ready. The title
Hey,
of this poem is Taken by Darkness.
Okay, gotcha. By Heavenly Angel?
By Heavenly Angel. You got it, sweet.
Yes, okay.
All right. Taken by the Darkness by Heavenly Angel. A shadow known as darkness dwells, trapping me in its claws. I squirm like a worm with mortal fear as it ensnares my entire being. Putrid thoughts from evil seed chant encrypted messages from the desecrated graves of witches. The soul is dark, turned to stone. Stillness reigns in the gray. Carbonous chamber where a heart used to lay through decomposed flesh and bone. Scalding hot torment flows through my fevered mind as with blood-curdling fear I acknowledge I have met my death. Demons suffocate the life from my lungs. This being taking my soul to the gates of hell where the curdled screams of lost spirits ring through the ebony mist. End poem.
Wow. Thank you for reading. That was awesome.
Thank you.
You know, the artistic flow in this is wicked good. Putrid thoughts from evil seeds chanting cryptic messages. That's just dark and daunting. I like the message in this. Scalding hot torment flows through my fevered mind. Wow, this is just so full of gothic language and horrific glimpses of the dark. Really well done, Heavenly Angel. And please come back with more dark poems, Missy, who doesn't write dark poems. I thought this was a wicked change for you. Thank you very much. And let's see, Carmine.
Well, I tell you, Taking My Darkness really had a touch of gothic writing. It mentioned like a shadow known as darkness. Wow. And then, of course, this darkness turns to stone. It's really horror personified, where, like it mentions, the heart used to lay in stillness, decompose flesh and bone. Wow. It's the realization of meeting a death. You got demons in there. You got the gates of hell. You got the lost spirits. It's very descriptive and very somber, but it's, to me, it's like dark drama. And she did an excellent job in that, especially as far as the rhyme and the flow. So Heavenly Angel is a heavenly writer, and she deserves a lot of credit. Yeah, you know, she does.
Curator, what did you think?
I can't help but agree with Carmine. They had a lot of good words in here. Ebony, I'm trying to read through it and find all the good words. I love words. I love words that just sound good. And Ebony is one
of
those words.
How about putrid?
It's just putrid is also a
mine
very good
putrid.
Word.
Mine was putrid.
Putrid. Yeah.
Of all her putrid words, I like putrid the best.
It is such a good word. Acrid, putrid. I believe there's a word. I believe there's a word. There's a lot of words. There's so many. It's very well written. A lot of good words. I also very liked the squirm like a worm with mortal fear. Very good internal rhyme. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it is very good.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I have to say.
Angel usually writes pretty stuff about angels and flowers and stuff. This is rare for her.
Resident love poet.
Well, I would say
she
did a
very
good job.
Yeah. AP.
Yes. I don't know what's come over. I don't know what's come over Heavenly Angel, Linda. I mean, you know, it's usually teddy bears and love hearts and, you know, friendly sort of little love unicorns dancing in the sky and hugging each other. And then we come upon this somewhere.
Right.
And... Yeah, I don't know where, you know, she's obviously gone and, you know, eaten the wrong thing out of the fridge or something, but it doesn't feel like her at all, you know. I read this and I'm still trying to work out whether it's her or that's, you know, somebody else, but it's great to go and take a turn to the darkness, and if we're going to have anybody read it, Sweet was the right person to read it.
That's right. Right on. And Sweet. You read it?
Oh, I loved it. It's so anti-angel. I love when she goes dark. She does it every once in a while, and she is absolutely brilliant at it. So I'm all for it. And if you have never read any of Angel's Darkness, I would say go back and look for it because she's fabulous at it.
Right on. There we go.
Hate to say it, Bob, but I've got to go. I will see you guys next time, I think.
Right.
Thanks
on
for
next
hanging
week,
out.
Same time, same channel. It was nice
Alrighty.
Having you.
I will see you then. It was nice to
all
right here, man. I'll see you then.
Love
Goodbye.
And respect.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm going to put up.
Bye.
Oh, where'd it go? It disappeared. After all
Linda?
That finding. Yeah?
Linda. I have a joke.
Yeah.
You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
You haven't had a joke yet. So I'm doing the first one. You ready?
Uh-huh.
It's a snake joke. Turn off your ears now.
Okay.
What do you call a snake who works for the government? What do you call a snake who works for the government?
Don't know.
Huh. You got me. What did you call a snake that works for the government?
A civil serpent.
That's cute.
Oh, good Lord.
Very funny, ah! AP. Okay, let me see.
It has to be a snake joke, doesn't it, AP? It just has to be.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought you'd like that, sweet. I'm here's one.
How can you ever be late for anything in London? They have a huge clock right there in the middle of town.
Ha! True. They do.
Yeah.
It's not on time.
Okay. Enough of that silliness. Next we have Carmine.
We do.
Would you like me to read it now, Linda?
Yes, everybody's got the link. Has everybody got Carmine's link?
We're good.
Did you put it up there? Did you put it up there, Linda, or not?
Yes, I did.
Yes,
no, I
did.
Got it.
You did? You got it?
All by myself.
Oh, yep. Got it. Got it now. Yep. All good.
Okay.
Okay.
Focus.
Okay. Sound, a treasured gift from the break of day, enriches our lives and is here to stay. Sound, the whimpering bond of a baby's cry, the ring of a bell on a steeple high, little toes on a wooden floor, tapping in rhythm to a piano score. Sound. Horns beeping cars on a busy street. Kids with a hose to ward off the heat. Records gurgling their song to the moon. A beginner's touch playing a tune. Sound. A robin's song in the maple tree. The crash of a cymbal from a symphony. The rickety rack of a stick on a fence. Clowns that play in circus tents. Sound. Tractors plow for soybean beyond. Quacking ducks in a nearby pond. Bagpipes mourn a hero brave while guns salute the life he gave. Sound. The winning score of a ball in flight. The roar of the crowd's explosive night. A marching band on the 4th of July. Three zooming jets piercing the sky. Sound. Falling snow from a thousand trees. The whispering brush of a mountain breeze. Deep bellowing moans for a lion's mate. Silver splashing fish. Taking the bait. Sound, sound, all around. Some soft, some resound. Silence, golden. Can't do without. But where life is found, no doubt, there's sound.
Oh, this is precious, Carmine. It reminded me of so many lovely parts of life that I'd forgotten about. You never know how much a sound, you know, just hearing a sound can bring back a whole big memory. But my favorite part is, let me find it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, yeah, the falling snow from thousand trees. the whispering brush on a mountain breeze, deep bellowing moans from a lion's mate, silver splashing fish taking the bait. I just love, because I love the sound of snow falling, which I got, you know, we had the other night. When snow falls on snow, it makes like tiny little cat pitter-pat. It's so cool. So I really like that. And just how sweet is the,
thank you,
such
Linda.
A delight.
I appreciate it.
You are. You are a delight to me, and your rhyme in this is so delectable. I loved it. Keep words flowing, my dear Carmine. See you next week. This poem was absolutely beautiful. Let's see, sweet.
Yes.
Well, you know, my whole life was surrounded by sound. Ever since I was 5 years old, I was pounding my mother's pots and pans and making dents in them. And then from there on, I even made my own drum set out of garbage can colors. So happy sound had been, should I say, not only embellished but appreciated. And now that I'm getting older, I can't hear as much as I had done. I'm losing my hearing. And so that sound, that poem that I had written is a reflection of my life with that I did with the studios and symphony orchestras instead of it. But losing it is painful, but in any event, grateful. So I appreciate your comments with the deepest heart of humility.
Right on. AP, what did you think?
I was just starting to read some of the comments, Carmine. I think you've done incredibly well to be with us and sharing poetry after having a few medical issues that you share with us down at the bottom there of the poem. And the juxtaposition of the sounds is beautiful. The cry, the bell, the floor, the piano score, there's just a there's a love of life that comes through in the poem. And and there's an experience of life, but in order to have that experience, you've got to love life and you've got to embrace life. And there's a love and an embracing of life in the poem, and that's what I really like about it.
Right on. Sweet.
I absolutely found it fascinating. I love the ability and the difference. Like you talked about, so many sounds that surround us, you know, sometimes they just become this cacophony that we don't pay attention. And then you have to hone in and listen to what you love, whether it's the sound of, you know, the birds or, you know, like my favorite sound in the whole world is to listen to my grandson giggle. I could listen to that and only that all day. But, you know, or I listen to my one dog bark and it drives me up the wall. And I have four, but it's just the one dog. And I know that bark, and it's like, okay, I got to go get him. And even in a crowd full of barking dogs, I know my four dogs bark. So it's like having your own children. But it's unique how we listen to certain sounds. My husband knows our car. If there's one little beat off, he'll tell. He knows it immediately. So sound is so unique to our ears and what we want to listen to, a babbling brook, like I said, your own kids' voices, your own car, your own certain thing that you want to hear, and you have the ability to hone in on it. And then the rest of it you can just put back in your head, and that's your background cacophony. And like, I don't sleep without a fan. I have to have it or I can't sleep. So your perspective on sound to me is not only amazing, but something I don't think I even realized until you started talking about it. You know, what is my soundtrack of my life? What is my sound? So that was very perceptive.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was a really good poem. So next up is Lawrence. And I'm supposed to tell you guys that he dedicated this poem to me because I always say he makes me giggle. AP, would you like to read this poem?
Sure, I can do that, Linda. I'm just going to put it up on the board. Oh, you've got there already. Cheap as you're efficient. There you go. This is That's Funny by Lawrence 67. And it goes a bit like this. I am your jester for the claws, for no reason but for your applause. I don't need to win any trophy, don't need no pat on the back. I don't need nothing but your sweet smile. If you're a little down, can't seem to lose that frown, you come across this clown, and your mouth wrinkles in that right way, your funny bone got tickled, what can I say? That's what I do. Whatever your cause, if it's bothering you, or even if you're just cool. A little of the right wrinkle up on your face always makes me feel like I've won first place. So what do you call a bee stuck in poison? Ivy. A bee. That's bitch, baby. Go ahead and smile. You know you want to. End poem.
He got me. I thought that was so sweet. No one's ever dedicated a poem to me before. And
there you go.
I know. I'm like... So all I can say is, my dear friend, how can I tell you how much I adore you? You went out of your way this time to make me smile, but not only on my face, but so much in my heart. You have a really wonderful way with words, my dear, and you make everyone laugh in their heart. Thank you, my dear Lawrence 67. My favorite part is verse 6, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Of course. So what do you call a bee stuck in poison ivy? A bitch. Of course that's my favorite part. It's so loving. And yes, you made me giggle. So I thank you, Lawrence. Let me get you some comments. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, that's a wonderful tribute to that, to you, Linda. Let's face it, there's depression, sadness, violence, and everything that's permeating the world stage, and everybody's looking for an outlet. And so the comic comes in, the fun man, and everybody then just puts the sadness and whatever away, and when the curtain goes up, the frown turns upside down, and we get a smile, and that's you, Linda. You know, you're doing an excellent job on the show. People laugh. You got jokes, and golly, I don't know. A combination like that, you don't have words. And so this old guy is telling you from his heart, just keep it. Not only keep writing, but doing what you're doing, because it's deeply appreciated. And that's about all I have to say to you, but it does come from my heart.
All right. Thank you very much. So Sweet had to go. So AP, what did you think?
The great thing about Lawrence is he sets out to get people to laugh, yeah, and he does that all the time, and this time was no exception. He just did it in a way that was complimenting you and your ability to interact with people and your ability to touch people, Linda, and I'm very glad he wrote it. It's a great poem.
Yeah, I thought it was very sweet. It makes me feel good to know that, you know, my work is appreciated
and
I can bring smiles to people. That's my greatest gift to the world. He's making someone smile. So Sweet had to go, so we'll cross her out. And next I put up Gerald. He's on the board, but he's got a SoundCloud.
Yep.
So if everybody's got that, I'm going to turn it up a little bit because we have a problem with sound. So everybody ready for Gerald?
What's the name of it, dear?
It is.
Oh.
I Am Hatred.
What is the name of it?
I Am Hatred.
What's the name?
By Gerald Green.
I Am Hatred?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Are you ready?
All good, Linda.
All good?
Yep.
Here we go.
I Am Hatred. Written and read by Gerald Green. I am hatred, seared with the heat of animus, full of vile's sweet juice, sprinkled with the spice of contempt, waiting to be ingested by weakness. I am hatred, void of sensitivity, blind to acts against humanity, deaf to words of reconciliation. Speak only the language of terror, unable to smell the essence of peace. I am hatred, unwilling to bend the knee of humility, unable to offer kindness, afraid of peace, compelled to destruction. I am hatred, fixated on revenge, pleased with suffering, delighted with savagery, refreshed by the blood of women and babies. I am hatred. Look at what I do. Learn from who I am. Embrace or be embraced. Reject the cesspool called middle ground. Endorse my heart of vanity. Victimize the one who turns away. I am hatred. Let me live with you. Allow my passion through your door. Breathe my fragrance of retribution. Kiss my lips and taste the still warm blood of the innocent. I am hatred.
Wow. This is very strong and wicked words. Do you tell a scary story? This was just creepy. This was pure evil. And what is it and what it does? Very strong metaphors and horrific language make this an ugly but cohesive presentation. How ugly can we get? And at some time, it always shows its face. It's really hard to pick my favorite part because of the properties of this poem. It was all very well written, and the words were chosen quite well. Thank you, Gerald. This was really on. Really an awesome piece of art. Thank you for coming and hope to see you again soon. This just gets right down to the bone, you know, just tells the ickiness of the word hate. So he did a fantastic job here. AP, what did you think?
Linda, may I say something about the... Jones
and
work.
Yep.
Well, this poem is powerful. It's an excellent portrait of how hatred, the personification of it. It depicts all the characteristics of the major spirit of the world. There are some very, very poignant descriptive lines, especially the last stanza, which says, kiss my lips and taste the still warm blood of the innocent. It's dark, it's touching, and that of a demon. such an excellent presentation.
Yeah.
And you know, the reality of what he's saying in his excellent poem is happening right before our eyes. And so, you know, it's explosive because what he's saying is there. Will it change? Well, kiss my lips and taste the still warm blood of the innocent. The darkness, I don't think, will go away. And that's what he's saying. And it's a very powerful, excellent poem. He deserves so much credit for it, Gerald. Excellent.
Right on. Nice comment. AP, what did you think?
No, I'm just going from Gerald's comment at the bottom of the poem. This is a poem inspired by what's been going on in the Middle East this last week. And it is hard not to be moved by the stories that are coming out. And it's hard to find the words that are appropriate to respond to what the stories are that we're hearing and the images we're seeing. And I think Gerald's done a wonderful job of channeling that those emotions and putting them on a page. And he often does. He's a very fine writer, and he often finds ways to express things more clearly than many of us. And I think he's done it again here.
Right on. Okay, let me see. We got need readers. Let me see who we got up. Okay, I'll read this next one. And then, AP, if you'd like to read the next one from our friend from Australia.
Yep.
So it's on the, they're on the board. The first one is My Very Worst Nightmare by L.G. Mace. I love it. She has the same autograph as I do, L.G. My husband calls me L.G. sometimes. Okay, My Very Worst Nightmare by L.G. Mace. My very worst nightmare, personified as more than just creepy or weird. Beyond hot-wired, imagination and my screwed psyche is seared. This living horror has no words for mere mortal decryption. Those blood-red eyes that sear into my very soul. Those bizarre Stephen King-ish, clownish, ghouly expressions devour me whole, leaving only my crunched bones and shredded body left in a rotten, bloody, putrid heap. Running from the shadows of crypt-like dreams, hear the eerie banshee calls and ghostly screams. Yes, just thinking of my very worst nightmare and his atrocious activities keep me trembling in my bed, miles from sleep. Wow. This was awakening. It was awesome, LG. It really captured the personality of a nightmare and made it ravage the reader. So sorry you missed the contest, because this is a winner in my mind. My favorite part is the ending. I hear the eerie banshee calls and ghostly screams. Yes, just thinking of my very worst nightmare and his atrocious activities keep me trembling in my bed, miles from sleep. That's just very well written. And if I were a nightmare, that's where I'd be with my atrocious activities. Great job, LG. Please come back. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, look, I we don't often get poems about nightmares, Linda, and about the perspective of them, and I think she's done a terrific job here of actually portraying this. So yeah, no, but great job and very well written.
LJ.
Right on. Now, Carmine, good comment, by the
well,
way.
Well, I tell you, you know, when you have my very worst nightmare, that's a good good question, because people want to know what it is. But then, you know, when they start reading it, of course, it becomes spooky, scary, and Halloweenish, if I can give it that kind of an expression. But the flow of her writing is excellent, and the same thing with the rhyming. So you have to give her much credit. And of course, well, she's got some crunched bones, a shredded body, and left in rotten, bloody putrid heap.
There's the word putrid.
She's talking about getting old and wasting away and meeting death. But in any event, she's captured the horror of that, really, that worst nightmare. And that is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Excellent job. Yeah, did you get, I think her name is Lindy. Yeah, Lindy. That's the name. Yeah, she's okay.
So I'm Linda. She's Lindy. I wonder what the G stands for.
I don't know, but I think that the L stands for Lindy. Now, it could be Linda.
Yeah, I think you're
know.
Right. Isn't that interesting? All right. Next we have Child of War by Dave Muddy. And AP, it's all yours.
Yes, my countrymen.
Does Carmine have the link?
Child of War. Yes. Can see it. And he also is writing about the current affairs in the Middle East. So this one goes a bit like this. Born into conflict stance, stranger to life's romance, tears stain their hope's delight, shadows tune, devours bright. Bomb symphonies explodes, love's stories it erodes, mutilating innocence, fighting for our preference. Child lost to dispute, drowned by a grave pursuit, torn apart deep within, a victim of mankind's sin. Peace disguised in hidden lies, no one hears their broken cries. Deafened by our selfish claims, true justice goes up in flames. Burned carcass of a child's dreams, exposed by war's deathly screams, corrupted ideals, ugly curse, precious children we now immerse. Our only hope is in Christ alone, for he takes us all as his own, all wounded souls healed in love. From war's trial, we rise above in poem.
Wow. I can't begin to tell you what this made me feel. This is just awesome. Your poetic language is soft but bold, and your topic is very meaningful. I couldn't pick a favorite part because it's all just so very poignant and true. It's all amazing. Dave, you are a wonderful writer, and I'd be pleased to have you as a regular on my show. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. It needs to be brought out more and more what's going on, and people doing it in poetry are speaking out. And Carmine, what did you think?
Child of War is a very, very poignant poem. At the end, it's got hope. Of course, you know, most the lines are very poignant. They're very expressive. They're very dramatic. They're very meditative in respect to the situations that prevailed during time of war. And if anyone who had experienced war or had been in war would become immersed in what he's saying. So, you know, the writer, especially the poetry and everything, is excellent. So the writer had really done an excellent job in portraying this this scene of tragedy and violence and death with an artist's touch. And so he deserves much credit. As I told you, Linda, you've got some talent here. I mean, this is fantastic. And being a part of it, like the old guy's talking, is an honor. Thank you. Thank him, too.
We're glad that we can make you feel that way, Carmine. That's the greatest part of this show is the love and respect that comes out of it, you know. AP, what did you think, darling?
It's got lovely rhyme and lovely flow, and it tells the story, and it doesn't sort of pull any punches about telling that story, Linda. And so for all of those reasons, it's very well expressed, and I join with you in saying the only thing that would be better is if we could get Dave on to read it himself.
Right. And while I have time, I'd like to thank everybody. Titus, Francisco Del Mar, Gerald, Carmine, AP, Wayne, Curator, Hatter, Sweet Pea, Titus, Affinity 6, Heavenly Angel, Lawrence, LG Mace, and I think that's it. So thank you all. And we have another poem by Jenny the Deep that I'll read for you guys because I love this poem. So you guys got it?
Just one tick. Let me have a look. Yes, I do.
Carmine, you got it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Singing October Nightmares Away by Jenny the Deep. In the still of the night as their parents slept, one sister played piano as the other wept. Together, two sisters sang songs about dread. Four frightened eyes has now darkened two heads. Determined to escape this dark maze, caught in spider webs of their mind's haze. Their dreams flicker like a candle in flames, chasing nightmares away like autumn days. October crimson marigold blanketed skies in the end illuminates their dimming eyes. With the healing power of music and dance, hope within their walls is given another chance. In poem. And I love this so much. I thought it was so cool. It's just out of this world cool. And the poem is put together with such prime perfection. My favorite part is the first verse. In the still of the night as their parents slept, one sister played piano as the other wept. Together, two sisters sang songs about dread. Four frightened eyes has now darkened two heads. I just love that. This is writing with a poetic genius, really, Jenny. You killed this one with gothic charm and a little mischievousness on the side. Please keep this up and come back next week. Awesome. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, as far as two sisters were concerned, the magic of music and singing did the job in respect to the horror of the nightmare. Of course, I love the part when she's mentioning about the illumination given, another chance as far as the life is concerned. Because many times in our lives we find bumpy roads and horror that's unexpected, unforeseen circumstances. However, we've got to give Jenny much credit, as you mentioned. She's masterful in this presentation. And
yeah,
the contrast between the two sisters, there it is. I mean, it's wonderful. So let's give her praise when she deserves it. That's what people deserve. We have to comment and we have to praise them, because that gives them encouragement to go on and do even better work. Keep on writing, Jenny. We love you.
Yeah. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, look, I actually really liked it too, because I think it sort of tells a story, but it it could finish in the dark place, but it starts in the dark place and turns towards the light, and there's an optimism there that I really like, Linda.
Yeah, she did a great job. Right on. And I think we have one more if we've got time.
We can do that. Which one are we talking
about? Yeah. Somebody got a joke?
A joke?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I do have a joke. Well, admit, you know what? I'll tell you that. The taxes that they have now, the government's come up with a new simplified tax form. Lord have mercy, that's wonderful. Now, the 4 points are as follows. Number one, question, what income for the year do you have? Number two, what expenses do you have? Number three, how much is left? And number four, send it in.
Wait a minute. We're trying to get you up there. Okay, we have a new poet.
Yes.
Her name is Kind Poet. She just chowed in. I'm not sure if she wants to read her poem. Let me get to the chat board real quick.
I'm happy to read if you want.
Talk it away.
Up to you, Kind Poet. And the link to the show, Kind Poet, for the record, will be up the top of the board for a team of voices for the day after the show. So just give it 5-10 minutes, and then this show will be up as the link at the top of the team of voices. So you just have to go wait for this to go through Blog Talk Radio. It takes 5-10 minutes, and then it will sit on top of the board.
Well, I guess... I don't know if she wants me to go ahead and read it or not.
Up to you.
Maybe she'll
Linda?
Come back.
We'll wait.
Dum to dum to dum. Not.
Close the link.
She can't find the close the link.
Okay. I think you might read it, Linda, if that's the case.
Okay.
Because we're sort of into the.
And I am the slowest typer.
No, I bet you're not.
I don't know if she said no. Well. Let's give it a couple of seconds.
A couple of minutes. Yep.
She's right there.
Yep.
Unless she types as slow as I do, and then it might be a minute.
Well, it could be.
I am the slowest typer in the world. I type with
two
fingers,
slow.
And sometimes only one. Well.
Well, that'll do it, but it's effective, yeah?
Oh, yes, please, if possible. Okay, then I will go ahead and read your lovely poem. This is called Frozen Sadness by Kind Poet. Centuries have circled him since he froze in time. He squats there too encrusted in misery and grime. Bewildered he would be by the changes made in history. Modern morals and liberal laws to him would be a mystery. Now we scrutinize this legend who's so ancient and strong. Now we marvel at how this statue could survive this long. He must have foreseen his solid statuesque existence. It appears as though he saw no point in his forcing his resistance. Defeat was certain as he crouched into this changeless stance. Fate froze his features with sadness and rage under this circumstance. End poem. And let me see what I got here. This is a lovely poem, and I love the picture. It just so strong, and it's like an antique picture. But speaking of this passing of time and the hands that take and the changes that take place, you use a really nice rhyme scheme to keep it flowing. And my favorite part was the last verse. Defeat was certain as he crouched into this changeless stance. Fate froze his features with sadness and rage under this circumstance. It's kind of sad, you know. He realizes his plight, and frozen he stays for life. Very well portrayed. This was a strong and engaging poem with a rhyme of perfection. Very nice. I'm sorry we couldn't get you in sooner. We'll try better next time. If you'd like to come back next week, we would love to have you. So just send me another poem and we'll get you up sooner. AP, what did you think?
For the record, this is about the Apennine Colossus, which is a stone statue, which was, it's about 11 meters high. It's in Italy, and it was constructed in 1589. Okay, that's the background of this particular statue that she's written about.
You did your homework.
Always, Linda, always. And I thought it was a really good poem. I love the rhyming. And the cadence, and you did read it very, very well, Linda, so I enjoyed it.
Great. Yeah, awesome brevity. I thought it just was, it just told of time and the changes that get, you know, like frozen in time. It's sad. But I think that's it for the night. I'd like to thank you all and hope you all come back next week, the 20th, not the Friday the 13th, but the 20th at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And we'd love to have you all there. Let me get back to the studio here. And we're going to say goodnight. Good night, AP. Oh, did we get Carmine? Oh, Carmine didn't.
No, we didn't have Carmine to comment.
Carmine,
please be careful. Okay.
All right,
Carmine.
Carmine,
did you want to comment?
We love to have you.
Good night now.
Did you want to? Yeah.
Good night. We love you.
Come on. Bye, Linda.
All right, Carmine. Good night. Good night, AP.
Good night, dear.
Thank you for hanging out with me.
It was a pleasure. It was most inspiring. Thank you again.
Thank you, sweetheart.